Now, I've never been one to shy away from a topic that's in the Bible. If it's there, we need to talk about it. But it all boils down to dispensations, 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 okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to rightly divide the gifts of the Spirit because they're in the Bible. But some of the gifts, they don't work for today, but they worked back then. Why aren't they today? What happened? What changed? How come some are still here and some aren't? What are the gifts that you can have? See, I want to make this personal too. What are your gifts? If you're saved, you have the same Holy Spirit that I do, right? And the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us gifts. So, do you have any of those gifts? Have you ever thought about what the gifts are? If I were to ask you, what are the gifts of the Spirit? You'd be like, do you know where they are in the Bible? So that's why we're doing this. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to rightly divide it so you can see. Now go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, and we'll start there today. I don't want to go too long, but there's a lot to get into here. Because when you study this topic, some people instantly become a Pentecostal. And if you don't believe in dispensations, then that's the logical conclusion. But if you do believe in dispensations, you can teach this correctly and not be a heretic and not be someone with false doctrine. You can understand. And that's what we're supposed to do. Again, a lot of Baptists shy away from this and don't even want to talk about it because they don't know what to do with it. So we're going to rightly divide today. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke 11, 9 through 13. Now, this is Jesus speaking in his earthly ministry to the Jews. What he's saying is to them then. Be careful trying to apply this to today. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. A lot of people try to say this for salvation. Well, if you want to get saved, just ask God to save you. How do we know that's not salvation? Context. Look at the context of the verse. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? The context is a son asking the father for something, not a lost person asking for salvation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, ask God to save you. It says, trust God, and then you're saved. So that's important that you understand. So when is this and what is this? Well, verse 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? That would be pretty funny. Could I have a hard-boiled egg and your wife brings a scorpion? That'd be kind of funny. If he then being evil, now watch this. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now there it makes it sound like if you just ask God for the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. Is that Paul? Is that what Paul says? No, Paul does not give us that instruction. Paul tells us when we believe the gospel, we receive the Holy Spirit. And it's faith that saves us, not asking. So who is this for and when is this? The context is a father giving something to a son. But we in the church age, we already have the Holy Spirit by faith, not by asking. So when could this be? When is this? Is this Jesus' ministry? Is this the apostles' ministry? Is this tribulation? Is this millennium? It doesn't seem to jive with our dispensation. So if you're out there preaching this, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, now just ask God to save you, you're not preaching the dispensation of today. Today we receive when we believe. Okay, do you see how asking and believing are two different things? Let me show you how this works. Ray, give me $1 million, please. I asked, did I receive? Just because I asked you for it, I didn't receive it because you don't have it, do you? So it's not asking, but Jesus said, if you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if Ray had $1 million in his hand, he says, Breaker, this is yours. Just take it. I'm going to believe you and I'm going to reach out and grab it by faith. I'm not thinking in my mind that you're going to go, I'm just joking. Now, maybe Ray would do that, but what does the Bible say? God's not like that. God doesn't say, here's eternal life, just believe. And you go, okay, I believe in God. God goes, I was just joking. No, he can't lie. So when you believe, you receive eternal life. Now, I want to start with that, though, because it talks about, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. So the context is about giving gifts and how God wants to give a gift. What is the gift that God wants to give? Well, for us today, it's salvation. So that's the first thing we need to look at when we look at the gifts of the Spirit. When you're saved, you receive a free gift of salvation. What does Romans 6:23 say? a very, very quoted verse in a lot of churches, Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So salvation is a free gift. Okay? Isn't that wonderful? Salvation is a gift. And it's not something that you earn. You earn a salary by your work. Notice what it says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift. So it's not your wages. You don't get to heaven and God goes, "Well, you did good, so now you can go into heaven because of the good you did. You earned it." You don't earn it. It's a free gift. So flip over to Romans chapter 5, and I'm sure you know this, but this is important. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." There's your sin nature. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift." Now listen to how many times it says gift. "And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift." I mean, he's just going, gift, 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 gift. He's saying gift a lot. Did you get that? Salvation is a free gift. How come something like probably 90% of Christianity doesn't get that? They think you have to earn your way to heaven. Are they not reading the Bible? "For the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." And we could continue reading there, but do you see what the Bible says? It's a gift. Remember a video we did? It's a gift. Okay. So we got to get that out there, Joseph, the next one too. People are already asking for part two. But you got to understand that salvation is a free gift. Now, if you get a chance, read chapter 5 all the way down. Look at all these verses. Verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's faith that makes peace with God that saves us. Good verse, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then verse 11 talks about what? Receiving the atonement. It's all about the blood that he shed. And because he loved us, he freely gave his life on the cross. And he freely will give eternal life to all who will believe. So if you come to him and you ask him to save you, but you're not trusting in his blood, are you saved? Unfortunately, in Christianity, there's a lot of people like that, that go to God and say, "Oh God, please save me. I don't want to go to hell." And then they're told, "Now you're a Christian," and yet they don't have eternal life and they don't have the Holy Spirit because they're not trusting in the blood. That's sad. You need to be trusting in this, because Romans 5:11 says that's what you're supposed to receive by faith. That's why Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Why would the Bible say through faith in his blood if salvation was not through faith in his blood? Why would new versions change it if it wasn't important? I believe the devil is behind new versions of the Bible. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you said, I love hearing people agree with that statement, because some people go, "How dare you say the devil wrote the Bible?" I didn't say that. What I'm saying is the devil perverts the Bible, and he changes the parts in it that he does not like. And that's the most important part, through faith in his blood. Just look at new versions of the Bible in Romans 3:25 and tell me if it says through faith in the blood. It doesn't. It changes the word of God. So we don't use new versions. Now flip over to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 very quickly. I want to always back up with scripture everything I say. How do we get the Holy Spirit? Is it by asking for it, or is it by trusting, by believing? It's by faith. Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So when you believe, the Holy Spirit enters in you and is sealed in you. You cannot lose it. That's what sealed means. Now, why am I going so hard into this and teaching this? before I was saved, I was part of that charismatic movement. I was in a Pentecostal church, and they told me something very different. They told me you just ask God to save you, but you can be saved, quotation marks, but still not have the Holy Spirit. So now you have to go and speak in tongues to get the Holy Spirit. And I tried to do everything they told me. And then they told me, if you do get it, then you'll lose it. But then you can get it back and then lose it again and get it back. What part of sealed do they not understand? Sealed means it's there and it can't leave. So there is a lot of false doctrine in modern Christianity. And in that denomination that I came out of, this is what they want to talk about more than anything else, the gifts of the Spirit. And they want to tell you that they have these certain gifts. And a lot of times they'll brag on it. Well, I have the gift and you don't. And see how that makes people, God said he hates that. That's called the Nicolaity. That's the people that think I'm up here and you're down here type of thing. When we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the first gift. And it's the moment we believe, according to Ephesians 1:13. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and can't lose it. Amen. When we were in Indiana, we met Brandon. Hopefully I'll do a live stream with Brandon soon. And Brandon said, man, after he got saved, that verse came alive to him, Ephesians 1:13. He said, I'm just so thankful that I'm sealed, that God is with me and he'll never leave me. Because Brandon went through a lot in his life as a lost man, as a drug addict, and he was alone. And just understanding the Bible and realizing, I'm saved. That means I'm never alone. He's always there. I'll never be alone when I'm saved. Amen? What a blessing that is. So, now after you get saved, you can get more gifts from God. And we'll look at those. Some are available today, while others were only for the apostles. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm not afraid to talk about these things. Now, a lot of Baptists don't want to talk about this. And I think I figured it out, because a lot of Baptists don't believe in dispensations. So when they come across something in the Bible that doesn't agree with their doctrine, they ignore it. I know a lot of Baptists that ignore a lot of the Bible because they don't know what to do with it. I know what to do with it. Read it and believe it and understand it and rightly divide it and realize, oh, there were some dispensations in the Bible. Right here in the Bible, we have what's called the Apostles' Doctrine. Do you know the Apostles' Doctrine is not the same doctrine as us today? Oh, Robert Breakers. Yeah. If you read the book of Acts, you know what the Apostles' Doctrine is? Sell everything you own and go live in a commune with a bunch of other people and give them all your money. Anybody want to do that today? That's the book of Acts chapter 5. Take everything out of your bank account and give it to me. And we're communists now, and I'll divide it among us equally. You guys want to do that? Me neither. But that's what the apostles did. That's the apostles' doctrine. Is that the same as today? No. It's also these things. Lots of miracles. Do we do the same miracles that they did? Well, I wish we did. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Here are what Paul calls the nine gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay, so I don't want to be ignorant of these. So I want to show you what they are in the Bible. But guess what? We can't have all of these today. A lot of them were for the apostles back then, and they're not for today. Something changed. It's a dispensation. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. Amen? Idols are dumb. You like watching American Idol, do you? Well, let me say scripturally, I think that's dumb. I don't watch American Idol. Okay? Even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I like that. There's a lot of people say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But King James says, say Jesus is the Lord. I don't know. That means like the only one. To say he's a Lord, no, he's the Lord. Now these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given, and here we have also, I meant to write up here which verse they're in, but you'll see them as we go through them. It says here, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So these are what Paul called the nine gifts of the Spirit. And some of them were in the day of Paul. Not all of them are for us today. Why do you say that, Breaker? Because some of these were things that the apostles could do that we don't. And a lot of these were for the Jews. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Bible says the Jews seek after a sign. So for a Jew to believe, he has to see a miracle. Do we look for signs today, the church? Paul says, no, we don't look after signs. He said we live by faith and not by sight. Sight is a miracle you see with your eyes. So we don't need miracles to believe. Thank God. So I'm not going around looking for miracles so I can believe in the Lord. I'm looking at the book and believing the evidence here of what it says. If someone came today doing a miracle, you know what my first thought would be? I wonder if that was a devil. How dare you, Robert Breaker? Why do you say that? Well, go with me to Revelation chapter 16. A lot of these things that they claim to do in these modern churches that they say are miracles, I say, well, how could that be the Lord? Because they have a different Bible and a different gospel. So they have a different spirit a lot of times. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 14, look at how the devil comes. For they are the spirits of devils working what? So the devil comes doing miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Wow. So when the devil comes to deceive. How is the devil going to deceive people? He's going to have the ability to do miracles. So the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. All right. I look at this modern movement where they claim to have the gifts of healing and do all these things. And I say, well, do you preach the right gospel? Most of them don't even know where it is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Do they have the right Bible, the true word of God, or do they have a watered down version that takes out faith in the blood and takes out a lot of things? A lot of them use the non-inspired version, the NIV or the ESV. A lot of people push that today. They leave words out. People are so blind. I try to deal with people and tell them, watch out for new versions. They've been changed. And they go, well, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Remember when we finished the book of Revelation and God says, hey, I'm going to take your name out of the book of life. Why would you go along with changing? Wow, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. I want what God said. You know, I've never in my life seen different translations of Shakespeare. You go to Spanish, there's one translation of Shakespeare into Spanish. Did you know that? There's not, well, I think we need a new translation of Shakespeare into Spanish. And there's like 200 Shakespeare's in Spanish. There's just one. Why does the Bible have 200 different ones? Why isn't there just one? If you want the true word of God, the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. Not a new king, the first king that did it, who was authorized. That's why our King James Bible is called the Authorized King James Bible. Thank God for the Authorized King James Bible. Well, I'm getting off topic, but I want you to get a hold of that. So there's your nine fruits of the Spirit, all right? Now, I would get into all these, but I don't have time, but some of them I still don't quite figure out. What is a word of wisdom? What does that mean? Notice it doesn't say it's the gift of wisdom. It says it's the gift of the word of wisdom. So the Holy Spirit gives a gift that sounds like a being able to say something the right way because you're wise. Now, what are you supposed to be wise of? So if you're saved and you're reading this book, the Bible says that the Spirit bears witness to this. So you get this in here, it should come out here. All right, I'm going to say something, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm good at that anyway, even when I don't try, you know. But years ago, some people called me on the phone and said, Brother Breaker, how do I make a good YouTube ministry? And I said, you really want my advice? They said, yeah, I want to have a YouTube ministry like yours. That's what they told me. I said, this is what I do. I just give the Bible and I want people to fall in love with the book. I want them to come to my channel to learn the Bible and our basis of fellowship be we love God and His Word. I don't want it to be come to my channel for my opinion. I don't want it to be to come to my channel so we can talk bad about this person. So I said, don't talk about people. Don't deal with the person. Deal with the issue. Deal with the Bible. Deal with the doctrine. Because doctrine matters. And I counseled those people, always stick with the book and just teach the Bible. Period. Don't talk about other people. Lately, I've seen some of those same men. And what is their channel? It's about this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy. And that disappoints me greatly. And I wonder how the Lord feels about that. Does the Bible say we should go talk bad about other people? You know what the Bible says? I'm departing from my message here, but this is from the heart. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. Do you know that? It doesn't say of saved men, so you can talk bad about unsaved. It says, speak evil of no man. So I don't ever want my ministry to be in the flesh talking about other people. I want to walk in the Spirit and just be faithful, sticking with the book and teaching it. So if you want a big YouTube ministry, do it the right way and stick with the Scripture. Okay? Quit talking about worldly things is my advice to you. Take it or leave it. Okay? And don't have a critical spirit. Be godly. What does that mean to be godly? Charity. I believe that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Do you have any? Boy, I've gone to meddling, haven't I? Let me get back to our study here. So what's doctrine? All right, real quickly, let me go through this. Word of knowledge, okay? So you need to know your Bible. A lot of people don't know the Bible. A lot of people, they'll just spew forth what some man told them that the Bible said. I want you to read it for yourself so you know what it says, okay? Don't go, well, Breaker said this, and he told me the Bible says this. If you ever hear you say that, I'm going to cringe. No, I want you to go, no, the Bible says this because it's in verse so-and-so. Who cares if Breaker believes it or not? This is what it says. I want you to follow the Bible, okay? Faith. Now, we're saved by faith. So how can one of the gifts of the Spirit be faith if we're already saved by faith? Well, do you know we're saved by faith, but every day we need to have more faith? And the Bible talks about your faith growing. And it's not just faith to be saved because you're already saved. It's faith in the Lord, trusting Him daily to meet your needs. Ray tells a good job in his testimony about how he just trusted the Lord. The Lord always comes through for you. So put your faith more in the Lord daily. Gifts of healing. Now, can we go lay hands on people and heal them nowadays? I wish we could, because I'd be in every hospital every single day in Pensacola. I would be a true minister. But that doesn't work today. How about working of miracles? Boy, I wish I could do that. I'd go to the burn ward and just touch them and then they'd be healed. Or if kids are born without ears or without hands, I just touch. But that's not for today. We don't see that today. Now the Pentecostals say, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Just wait. Prophecy. Now what is prophecy? Well, prophecy is telling the future. And nowadays, if you just preach what the Bible says, then guess what? You're telling the future. If I say, if you don't get saved, you'll go to HE double hockey sticks, then what am I telling you? I'm telling you your future. But you know what? You can change that. So prophecy today is just simply preaching the Bible because you're telling what will happen if you don't obey. Discerning of spirits. Now that's an interesting thing. Look at that word, discern. That's one of the most important things that we can do is discern others. And we need to make sure we discern correctly. Because some people can brag on, I have the gift of discernment. And then they judge poorly someone. And they misjudge them. We've had that happen in our lives. And I'll be honest, I've done that myself. I've misjudged people. And I feel horrible about it. I want to make sure I have true discernment of people. Amen. And diverse tongues. Now, we'll look at tongues too a little bit today. But in the Bible, a tongue is always a written spoken language. It's not blabbering in the air and not saying something that you don't know what you're saying. Okay? I speak the English tongue and the Spanish tongue. When Joseph and I were on our trip, we were talking English most of the trip. Then the end, we were all talking in just Spanish the last day or two driving home. That was a blessing to me. It was like, oh, Jose, que pasa, Jose, what are you doing? We're speaking in Spanish. It was just so fun that Joseph speaks Spanish. So it's a blessing to have a gift of being able to speak another language. But they try to make that into something different. So we're going to try to look at all this today. There's no way we're going to get into all of this, I don't think. So I'm going to do my best to just try to lay it out there. and then let you study it some more. So what is the apostles' doctrine? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 2. And do you realize this is not the doctrine for today? Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 43. Now, Acts chapter 2, it's God dealing with Jews. No Gentiles yet. And you see that over and over as you read chapter 2. Look at verse 22, ye men of Israel. Look at verse 29, men and brethren. And look at verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. So God's dealing with Jews in Acts 2, no Gentiles yet. That's important to note. Now verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods, and part of the... There's your... You want the apostles' doctrine for today, do you? I like personal property, to be honest with you. I believe the Bible allows us to own personal property. Communism is against that in the Bible. But notice what it is, signs of an apostle. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 5. In verse 12, Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So the apostles' doctrine is all about signs and miracles. But it was the early part of the church here where it was only the Jews. It's not until later that God goes dealing with the Gentiles as well. And since the Gentiles don't need a sign, they just believe, then a lot of these were done away with. And we don't need signs and wonders and miracles today to believe. And you need to get a hold of that. Don't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the Bible says, and Paul is speaking, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. So Paul was an apostle. Okay? So you have the 12 apostles. Now, we went through the book of Revelation, and in New Jerusalem, how many levels are there? It said 12. 12 foundations. And each one was the name of the apostle. So there must be, in God's eyes, only 12 apostles. So I don't think the Lord chose Matthias. Sounded like men chose him. God said, no, the one that I chose was Paul. So Paul must be one of the 12. What happened to the other one? Judas, you know, he was, the Bible says, a devil, so he wasn't the true apostle. So you have the 12 apostles. Are there apostles today? A lot of people today run around and say, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. I've had people call me on the phone and say, hey, Brother Breaker, I'm apostle so-and-so. I said, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm an apostle. Well, if you're an apostle, would you come out to the graveyard with me and raise my father from the dead? I haven't seen him for a while, and I'd like, please do that, Mr. Apostle, because that's what the apostles did. I've yet to have them take me up on it. I mean, I got a shovel. I'll give you one too. Let's go see you raise somebody from the dead. Then I'll believe you're an apostle. It says here in Revelation 2 and verse 2, down toward the end of the verse after the colon, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So this is the last apostle as far as living was John. And John said in his day, no, anybody going around saying they're an apostle, they're not. There's only 12 of us. So you're a liar if you say you're an apostle. Yet today, what do you have in so-called Christianity? Lots of these churches. We're apostle so-and-so. I've even seen pastor and wife apostles. I'm like, weird, you know, weird. So what does the Bible teach? Now, let's get into some more detail here. This is where the Baptist heads are going to explode, okay? I'm more of a Bible believer than a Baptist, right? That's why I like Brother Hoffman, where we went in Indiana. He says, you know, I'm a Bible believer. Our old pastor Ruckman said, if the Baptists teach one thing and the Bible teaches another, always go with the Bible. And I would rather be known as a Bible believer, because, you know, there's people out there named Baptists that aren't even saved. There's a lot of Baptists that think water baptism saves. There's a lot of Baptists that have false doctrine. So to me, it's be a Bible believer. You'll never hear me brag on being a Baptist. But there's people out there that do. They want to be a part of that group and brag on it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. When we go to Matthew 28, 16, again, we're going to be starting the book of Matthew verse by verse soon. But when we go to Matthew 28, 16, what do you automatically think? What have you been taught by the Baptist that Matthew 28, 16 through 20 is? Anybody? If you're looking at your computer, even on eSword, I've noticed on eSword it says the Great Commission. This is called the Great Commission. Where does that come from? Do you know the term the Great Commission is not in the Bible? That's a man-made term by some monk in the 1500s. And yet most Baptists run around and say, well, that's our commission, the Great Commission. They're teaching tradition rather than the Bible. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Where's their faith? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Now, where's the gospel in this? I don't see it. Where's Paul in this and the revelations given to Paul? They're not there yet. So this is a pre-Paul command. Isn't that something? And if you rightly divide, then you realize, oh, this is still back under there. What about future with Paul? Now, this is what many call the Great Commission, though. And this is why a lot of Baptists say, win them and wed them. You ever heard that saying before? You got to win them and wed them. Get them saved and then baptize them in water. If this is the Great Commission, this is also found in, guess where? The book of Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Do you know what? If this is the Great Commission, guess what accompanies the Great Commission? If you're a good Baptist, you have to believe what I'm about to read, because it's found also in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14 through 20. Here's your Great Commission in the book of Mark. Mark 16, 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11. But where's Paul? Paul's missing. We're still not over here with Paul yet. So this is a different ministry, and it's still to the Jews. Afterward, no, they're going to call you a hyper-dispensationalist. Whatever. I'm not a hyper person. I think I'm a mellow dispensationalist, because I'm kind of mellow, you know. But I want to rightly divide. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we can spiritually apply this to today. We should go preach the gospel. But is this Paul's gospel? It hasn't been revealed yet. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, now some people say this means you have to be baptized in water to be saved. Notice it doesn't say, but he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. So it's not saying baptism saves. It's assuming that if you believe, then you'll be baptized. Now, verse 17, Baptists will never go here and never read this, because it'll make them into a Pentecostal. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. All right. If you believe in the Great Commission for today, then you need to do those signs. And by the way, one of them's missing that we find in another passage, and that's raise the dead. So if you believe that that's still for today, then you need to be able to do all this. Now, honey, where's my bag with the rattlesnake in it? You got it back there? Let's get that out. I'm going to pass this around. I'm joking. I don't have a bag with a rattlesnake. But if I did and I passed it around, would you grab it and take it? Where's your belief? Oh, you heretics. What? But you know there's churches like in North Carolina and places like that. They practice this. Have you ever seen those churches where they pass around rattlesnakes? The pastor of that church was on, was it Discovery Channel or one of those channels? And they showed how they do that. And you know how he died? A snake bit him, and he died. Boy, I think I'd be studying dispensations. Because maybe, just maybe, that was for a different dispensation. He died from a snake. What did that do? It just disproved his whole ministry, didn't it? Wow, I hate to die like that, wouldn't you? So, is all this for us today? Well, some of it, it looks like we can still do, but is all of this still for today? Have you ever raised the dead? I wish I could do that. That would be cool. Some people need to stay dead, I guess. But other people, they die too early, don't they? And wouldn't that be cool to be able to... Well, do you do that nowadays? A lot of Pentecostals will tell you these are still for us today. And they claim they can heal the sick, but they never raise the dead. Now, sure, some people on YouTube will say, no, I've seen them raise the dead before. You can fake anything on film. I want to see it live. And I want to see you go to a graveyard, dig up the body, open the coffin and say, arise and see. Then I'll believe. Okay. Oh, please don't do that. Please. There'll be people digging up graves and the breaker told me. No, I'm not telling you to do that. That was an illustration. But please don't do that. When I was in high school, there was two kids that got drunk and did that. And it was on a Indian reservation and they dug up a little Indian baby. Oh, that was so horrible. That was a big scandal when I was in high school. And I remember one of them, he kept washing his hands and he kept going, it won't come off. It won't come off. He felt so bad. So, man, don't get drunk. Don't do drugs. You do dumb things. It's really awful. But is this what we still do today? Can we heal the sick and can we? Okay, there's one so-called preacher on YouTube that tells people to go drink Drano if they believe it. Please don't drink Drano. But why does he say that? Because it says if you drink a deadly thing, you won't die. Well, I'm not telling anyone to drink Drano. Boy, I wouldn't want that on my conscience, you know, if somebody did that. But do these still happen today? What does Paul say? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Paul came along, and if you actually read the Bible, one lady sent me an email and says, Brother Breaker, you're so condescending the way you talk to people. And then she said I was a smart aleck. And so I nicely wrote back in my email, I will not admit to being condescending because I don't believe I am, but I confess I'm smart aleck sometimes. Okay? But look at Paul, all right? Why is Paul in the Bible? If you read the Bible, read the book of Acts, you'll see a transition, a change from Peter and the early apostles to Paul, from the apostles' doctrine to the doctrine given to Paul for us by Jesus, from Jew to Gentile. And you'll see that. Paul understood that this wasn't always going to be around. So he's saying this in Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead. Look what he says. And of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. So he says, all this that the apostles did, we'll keep doing that if God permits. Why would he say such a thing if we can still do that today? Or did he know this is just for the Jews, and if God permits us to keep doing this until the time that God goes to dealing more with the Gentiles, we'll keep doing it, but then when we go to the Gentiles, God won't permit it anymore. Why? Because the Jews seek after a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. We live by faith and not by sight. So do you see the transition? Do you see the change? Now, there will be miracles again over here. I think there'll be 144,000 working miracles. I think the two witnesses will work miracles. And God will go back to dealing with Israel. But because they rejected their Messiah the last 2,000 years, God has dealt more with Gentiles, and there's not been that many signs and wonders. And there must have been a change. Okay? Is that good news or bad news? Well, it's just Bible. So, what exactly is for us? Well, let's look at Acts real quick. Let me prove this to you, what I'm saying, just so you don't believe I'm teaching Baptist doctrine. Go to Acts chapter 19. You cannot deny that Paul was one of the apostles. Read his epistles. Do you know how many times he starts his epistles saying, Paul, an apostle, by Jesus Christ, apostle. He's saying, hey, I'm not just speaking out my rear end here, and I'm not just some guy that came out of nowhere that says, accept me. God called me to be an apostle. And here's what God told me to tell you. So we have to go to Paul, because a lot of what Jesus wants us for today in the church age is from Paul. But Paul was also one of these apostles. And Paul, whenever he went out, and this is what hyperdispensationalists don't believe, he went always to the Jew first and then to the Greek until later when he said, from henceforth, I'll only go to Gentiles. So Jew first. So Paul was an apostle going to Jews first. And Paul had the signs of these. Now watch this. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. He had even better signs than the other apostles. It's like God gave him just like a double portion or something. He goes, here, go do more than they did. Did you know that? This is crazy. Look at this. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. And God wrought special miracles. Oh, isn't that special? God gave special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. All Paul had to do was carry a handkerchief and then go, oh, the guy's sick. Well, here, mail that to him. And when the guy opened the mail, he's healed just by touching his handkerchief. Buy your handkerchief from Robert Rager today, $50 love offering, and I will send you. See what people do on TV? It doesn't work nowadays. Why doesn't it work nowadays? Because signs are for the Jews. So, but that's what he could do. Now, to prove to you that those signs are no longer for us today, now we're over here, let's turn over to 1 Timothy. Excuse me, I said 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20. 2 Timothy 4:20. This is so important. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20. This is the last book that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy. His swan song, if you will. He's about to die and he's writing this book. 2 Timothy 4:20, look what he says. The end of his ministry, about 66 AD. 2 Timothy 4:20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, what? Sick. Why would Paul leave somebody sick if he could just send them a handkerchief? Unless a lot of these, which were only for the apostles, were phased out. Because we're no longer dealing with Jews, now we're dealing with Gentiles. And now, it's not by sight, it's by faith. So do you see what I see in the Bible? So these people that claim to be healers, like Benny Hinn and all those people, you know, Oral Roberts University and all those, do they really have these? Are they even true Christians? I've never heard them preach the gospel of faith in the blood. And yet they claim to go around and do these things. All right? Publicly, let me ask Oral Roberts and Benny Hinn and all these people, in all of your meetings, would you please put a rattlesnake in the pulpit when you preach? And then when it bites you, let us see you live and we'll believe you. I mean, otherwise, shut up, okay? Quit trying to deceive people that you can heal the sick and raise the dead. Because I'm going to believe that if you really are healing the sick, that it just might be a devil doing that and not you. What did I just do? I blaspheme the Holy Spirit according to them. But I haven't. I've read my Bible and I see the transition. I see the change. Always remember the book of Acts is a transitional book. And the Bible says, no, we live by sight and not by faith. We do not need miracles. So when someone's sick, we don't go over and put our hands on them. What do? We pray. I believe God can heal the sick. But it's no longer a gift given to a man to do it. That was to the apostles. Now we pray and ask God to heal us. And he can, can't he? I don't want to drink anything deadly to find out. I've never risen from the dead, personally. I haven't died and come back. But I haven't done that to other people because I can't. I'm not going to take up serpents. Speaking in tongues and casting out devils, can we still do those too? Well, I try to stay away from demons or devils, okay? I've run into some people, though, that I think maybe had some. And what can we do? Well, in the book of Jude, when the devil shows up to Michael the archangel, guess what he says? He says, the Lord rebuke thee. He doesn't say, devil, I command you to do this, this, and this. You hear a lot of Pentecostals saying, I command you to do... Oh, boy, that's a little bit scary. He says, the Lord rebuke thee. So if you ever come across a devil or a demon, I would say, in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke thee. Get out in Jesus' name. And maybe we can still do that. Maybe because we have the Holy Spirit and it's more powerful, right? You know that verse, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And how about speaking in tongues? Do we still have that gift today? What are tongues? Now, I don't have time to go to Acts chapter 2. But please, go read Acts chapter 2 sometime. What was the gift of tongues? The apostles began to speak in another language that they never knew. And it was the Holy Spirit. So one apostle's up here in Italian. Another apostle over here is in Spanish. Another apostle over here is in German. They didn't know those languages. And the Bible says, how hear we every man speak in our own tongue. The people that were there heard in their language. That's the true gift of tongues. It's not blabbering in the air. And no one knows what you're saying. Now turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. I have to do this, okay? When I was in the Pentecostal church, they lied to me. Here's what they taught me, and this is what they say in most of your Assembly of God churches. They say, when you speak in tongues, it's a language that no one understands, and it's the Holy Spirit making utterance to the Father in a heavenly language that only the Holy Spirit understands. So, get this. They say that it's the Spirit in you speaking to the Father out loud in a language that no one understands except the Father. That's what they say. How do I know that cannot be true according to the Bible? How do I know that is an outright lie? Because I read my Bible. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So yes, the Holy Spirit in us makes intercession for us. But does it do it out loud in a tongue that no one understands? No, because look at the rest of the verse. Maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Listen and listen well if you're a Pentecostal and you believe what you've been taught. What are you doing uttering something with your mouth that the Bible says cannot be uttered? You are against God and against the Bible if you do that. And that means, as far as I'm concerned, you cannot be of God because God will not go against his word. Amen? Now, I don't want to be hard on you, but I don't want you to be deceived in a cult. I want you to come out of that cult and get the true Holy Spirit. Because I believe there are false spirits that can get in a person and do that. There is in India a thing called the Kundalini movement. Have you ever heard of Kundalini? And what it is they go around in India and it sounds just like this. Only it's nothing to do with God or the Bible. It's New Age movement. And the Kundalini movement is they have people and they tell them, repeat this over and over, a mantra, and go, and they come over and they touch them. And when they touch them, the person starts going like this. And it's like, oh, and it looks just like what you see in an Assembly of God church. Exactly. If you thought you were an Assembly of God church, you wouldn't know the difference. But what are they getting? Demons or devils inside of them. So you need to be very careful that you know your Bible. Or you can get sucked into a cult and get another spirit and think that that's the Spirit of God. Amen. All right. Boy, I wonder how many enemies we made today. Look, I don't care if you think I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I'm not. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit says. You're blaspheming the Holy Spirit if you go against the Word of God. What are you doing with your mouth uttering things that the Bible says you can't utter? Now, what is a true tongue? English, Spanish, German, you know, those are tongues. I speak in tongues today the right way. I speak in English and in Spanish. I studied Greek and Hebrew in college. I tried to forget that as quickly as I could because I'm going to stick with the King James, amen? But that's a true tongue. So, let's look at these gifts. These were the gifts given to the apostles back then, all right? And some of these we could still do today, but I wouldn't even try these other ones because I certainly don't want to see if I get bit by a snake if I die or not, would you? I'm not going to drink some Drano. Do you know that Paul talks about other gifts in Romans chapter 12? So we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 toward the beginning of his ministry. Then toward the end of his ministry, we look at his other list of gifts. Pentecostals never go there for some reason. They want these. They don't want these. I was looking at this, studying this week, and I'm like, why don't they ever talk about those? Those are more important. Those you can actually do. These they never try to do. Or if they do, they claim that they heal the sick. I told you I've been to Pentecostal meetings before where I talked to the guy that was in the wheelchair that they supposedly healed, and he walked away. He goes, Brother Breaker, they paid me $40. $40 to pretend that I was in a wheelchair. He goes, I got $40. That's how those things work. They're full of liars and deceivers. You ever see that Hollywood movie, Elmer Gentry, I think it was called, or Elmer Fudd Gentry or something like that? It was about a false woman preacher and this guy who was coming and he fell in love with her or something. But even Hollywood knows those people are fake. These apostolic signs are not for today. They'll come back, though, for Jews over here after the rapture. But today, I'm not looking for miracles or signs. If I see one, I'm going to first question, is that of God or of the devil? Because that's how the Antichrist comes. We are to live by faith and not by sight. Whew, I know I'm making people mad, but it all boils down to this. Do you believe the Bible or don't you? A lot of people believe in their emotional experience more than the Bible. I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. You have to go by the evidence, not by your emotion. This is the evidence. You have to go by the facts in the Bible, not your feelings. And many of the Pentecostals and things like that, it's all a feeling-based religion. I remember visiting a guy one time years ago that went to the Brownsville, Clownsville thing. And he said, oh, I went to Brownsville. I said, really, sir, can I show you some of these verses? And I went through all this with him. And he said, you're basically telling me that everything I felt and everything I went to was not true. I said, no, I'm just telling you this is what the Bible says, and you can't judge an experience and think it's real. You have to see, based upon the Bible, whether it was true or not. And this is what the guy told me. He looked at me, and it was almost like the demons just started going like this in his eyes. And it was scary. And he looked at me, and he pointed his big bony finger right in my face, and he goes, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what happened to me. That's where a lot of people are today. They don't want to follow this book. They want to follow their experience or their pastor or their tradition or their denomination or their healings or their feelings or false teachings. I want to follow the Bible. Okay? So I want to teach you correctly, and I want to teach you, don't go around looking for miracles. Even the devil can do miracles, and he can deceive you. Look at the Bible to see what it says. Well, anyway, a lot more I could get into. In Acts 18:6, Paul says he'll go only to the Gentiles. So we see a change from Jews to the Gentiles. And yet he still went to some Jews some more. And we could look at Paul and look at more of Paul. But let's go to, first of all, I told you to go to Romans 12. Let's go, keep your hand in Romans 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 one more time. I want you to see this. I'm not telling you wrong. I'm telling you right, because I'm telling you what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12, then we'll flip back to Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles. Well, so the apostles were the first in the church. Are there apostles today? No. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now look what he says. Are all apostles? No. Only 12 of them according to the book of Revelation. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, the Bible, when it was originally written, didn't have chapter marks. So the next verse is the more excellent way. And what's the next verse? Charity. Whew. So what is the absolute best gift that you can have? Charity. Now, I guess people are probably saying right now, and you don't have any, Breaker. Well, yes, I do. I try to have charity, and it's because I love you I'm telling you this. You know what Paul said? Paul says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I don't want to see people deceived, so I tell them the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts if you're deceived. But if you truly love God and the Bible and you want to follow it, you would appreciate someone that told you the truth, even if you don't like it. Right? So, back to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at these other gifts of Paul that are for us today that no one seems to want to talk about. And I wonder why. Now, even among the Baptists, I see a lot of people that claim to be Baptists. All they are is militant, angry, critical spirit. What gift is that? If they would actually follow Paul, they would see what the true gifts are for today. Yet they want to go to the, they want to go to the Great Commission and preach it, but they won't even go to the Companion Passage that says this is part of that Great Commission for the Apostles' Doctrine. Do they even read the Bible? I'm embarrassed to call myself a Baptist sometimes because I see what passes off itself as a Baptist nowadays and they don't even know their Bible. Whew, okay. Romans chapter 12. Told you I was tired. This is what happens when I get tired. I'm trying to. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Okay? According to the proportion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Showing mercy is a gift. Have you got that gift? Ooh, I've met some people in Europe, they call them indie baps, the independent Baptists. I met some people in Europe one time, and they said, oh, you're an indie bap? Oh, yeah, I'm an ordained independent Baptist. Oh, you're an indie bap, they told me. I said, indie bap, what's that? Well, they're those people with no charity or grace. I go, no, I'm not an indie bap, but I know them very well, you know. But wow, it's interesting. It says, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, amen. With cheerfulness. You just got a package from Amazon, by the way. Wow. Okay. And it says, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means fakery. Don't be fake. People make fun of Breaker. They call him Robert Faker. Well, you guys know me. Am I fake or do I tell you what I think? I don't want to be fake. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. So here are some of the gifts that we can have, according to Paul. How come Pentecostals never go here? All right, many Baptists are afraid to speak on the gifts of the Spirit because you have to go here. And they're like, oh, we don't believe that. We're not Pentecostals. So they won't talk about it. Okay, when they do talk about it, they never go here, which is Paul telling us what the gifts are. And as I went through and looked up gift, I can't tell you how many times I found in the context, it's always be compassionate, be caring, be loving, and care. That is the greatest gift of all, caring for other people. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to care about people. But you know what? It hurts to care about people. It hurts me to see people in a cult and to believe a lie, thinking that they can do certain things that they can't do because they're no longer for. It hurts. So sometimes it hurts to care for people. It's so easy for me to just run away. I grew up as a kid out in the boondocks on Garson Point, and there were hardly any neighbors. You couldn't see the neighbors. They were that far away. And I grew up fishing and hunting and riding my bike miles away at a time. And I grew up enjoying being by myself. That's who I am. Laura says I'm not a people person. Well, I love people. I just don't love them enough to want to be with them 24/7. All right. I love seeing them. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see you later. I saw you enough. No, I'm sorry, but we are who we are and we do have our gifts. And this is what I want to bring it all back to and try to finish up here is let's make this personal. What is your gift? And have you thought about it? Because, the older I get, the more I enjoy being around people, but I want to get away. Sometimes it's good to just get away in nature, just you and the Lord. That's when I get to pray the most. That's when I feel the closer to Him is when I'm away from people. I don't know if that's a gift or if that's, what's the opposite of a gift? A curse. I don't know. But we're all different. And one thing that you've got to understand is not everyone's the same. We oftentimes in our mind think everyone else is just like us. And so when someone does something that we wouldn't do, we judge them, don't we? And we judge them poorly because oftentimes we think they're like us. And we go around and we look at all the wrong in people and we never seem to look for the good in people. Have you ever noticed that? That's what hurts me the most is to see other people just go around picking on others. What's your gifts? How can I encourage that gift and strengthen that gift so that you can be a better person than you should be? Part of the gifts is this one right here, exhortation. It's all about edifying. Edifying is building up, not tearing down. A lot of people nowadays that claim to be Christians, they think that the ministry is just going around talking bad about other people and putting them down. And I saw that and I said, I do not want to be that. I want people to be the best that they can be. And the way you do that is you help them and edify them and say, hey, what's your gift? Now, how can I encourage that gift for you to grow? Because a lot of times we put them down. That's why, guys, I'm taking so many trips. because I want you to be a better preacher. I want you to have, a lot of times there's strength in exercise. Okay. Right. You exercise, you get a little bit bigger. Well, the same thing with your gift. If you have a gift, I want to encourage that gift so that I can strengthen you and you can do that even more. So I've been thinking about this week, and I'm thinking, what are your gifts? Do you know what your gift is? My dad, bless his heart, when he was alive, we were talking about this one time. He says, son, do you know what your gift is? I go, no, not a clue. What's my gift, Dad? He said, your gift is teaching. You're more of a teacher. I said, yeah, Dad. When I was up there at Brother Hoffman's church in Indiana, I was editing this week and going back, man, all that is a bunch of good Bible teaching. Wasn't a lot of preaching. Dad was right. I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. I still preached. But I like to be able to draw it up here. I want you to get it here and here. I want you to get it. And I like teaching the Bible. That's my gift. That's my thing. That's what I do. Have you got a thing? What's your thing that you do? And how can I encourage you and edify you in that instead of trying to tear you down? I had a friend years ago who went to school with me, to Bible school with me. And he went out to California and he sat in a church for 6 years. And he said the Lord had called him to be a preacher and into the ministry, but that pastor would never give him an opportunity to preach. I don't know what he's doing for the Lord now, probably nothing. That gift that was in him, that pastor could have used, could have put him teaching as a Sunday school, could have had him preach maybe once every couple of months, and then he could go out and be a pastor. But that gift died because it wasn't exercised. And that wasn't the only, I've seen that so many times. So many times people become pastors and they see somebody with a gift and they just put them down instead of encouraging that gift. And that hurts me. That hurts me to see. So I was thinking about it this week and I thought, man, I just want to encourage you all. What is your gift? Can you think about that this week? What is your gift? Maybe you're a good talker and preacher. Maybe you're not. You know, the more you practice, the better you get. Maybe you're good at ministering. You know, music is a ministry. And you can be, I would love to hear more specials. Because what a blessing it is to me to hear you sing. And I'd love to hear more people doing specials and singing. Because that encourages me. Did you know that? That blesses us. How about teaching? How about exhortation? You know what exhortation is? Good job, brother. Now let me tell you a little about myself real quick. When I grew up in the most critical place that you could ever be. My grandparents were critical. It rubbed off on my dad. I never did anything in my life right till I was about 18 years old. I never heard one time in my life, good job, son. Never. It was always, you should have done this. You could have done it better. I wasn't exhorted. Now, how did that turn out for me? Well, good, I guess, because it made me strive to be even better. So that I don't hear that anymore. So it really helped me to do better. But it still hurts. And just a kind word sometimes. This goes a long way. And as I got older, after I got saved, I moved back home. My dad said, good job, son. I was like, what? I never heard that before. And he said some things one time. After I was in Honduras for 7 years, I kept a journal for 5 years of that 7 years. And Dad would read it. And I was back one time visiting, and Dad said, son, he said, I live vicariously through you because all the things I wanted to do in my life, you've done. Good job, son. Keep it up. And that meant the world to me, and I've never forgot that. That's a great word of exhortation. And so, but what was that also? That was a confession. God gave my dad some gifts too, but he didn't live up to his full potential. If you knew my dad, he was a hermit. He didn't get out much. He stayed home a lot. And so I've looked at my life and found my gifts, and I want to do what God, but I want to see what your gifts are, and I want God to use your gifts. And honestly, I don't know. So maybe you can talk to me about it, or maybe just think about it. What has God given me the ability to do that I can do pretty well, and how can I do that more? Talk to me about it. Maybe I can help. Maybe we can help each other. Because that's how we grow, okay? And that's just, I'm speaking from the heart now. That's what this message is. It's just from the heart. I'm sorry if I'm gone long. But how about giving? Do you know giving is an encouragement? Maybe you can't do much for the Lord. Maybe you can give to somebody that is. I don't care about your money. I don't want your money. But do you know you get rewards in heaven when you do that? Think about it. Now, don't give to a cult. Oh, man, these people on TV, you know, with their false teaching, they get brand new jets every other month or something. I wish they'd give to true Bible believers instead of people like that. They just have a couple more verses. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. But I just thought about this, and I just want to encourage you, because I look at y'all, and I look at your potential. And I think to myself, boy, you have a lot of potential. I'd love to see you live up to it. Okay? I'd love to see you live up to your potential. Man, that was awesome, the song this morning, Ray. What potential Ray has. Keep writing songs. Amen. Keep writing songs. Brother, I appreciate you teaching the other day, preaching to us. What potential you have. Keep preaching. Keep practicing. Maybe we can go preach on the street corner sometime, stuff like that, so you'll grow. Can't wait to hear Joseph's message. Amen. And what potential. So James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. James 1, well, let's just read verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If you have a gift, do you know that's from the Lord? You think he gave it to you on accident? Or do you think he gave it to you for a reason? Because he wants you to use it for his glory. 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So whatever gift you have received that the Lord's given you, use it for the Lord. What's the greatest gift? Verse 8. Above all things, charity. That's the first gift. You know what charity is? New versions change that to love. Love and charity aren't the same thing. No, they're synonyms. No, they're not. Charity has the connotation of like sacrifice with it. Charity is more than just love. Charity is like putting up with. Because I love you, I put up with you. I'm charitable to you. So there's a little bit of sacrifice involved. Charity. So we have gifts. We have gifts. Now, this is where it's all coming together. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Well, do you ever read your Bible and get a blessing from it? This I was reading, and it was just like jumped out to me, and I was like, woohoo! So I'm sorry we went long, but it'll be worth it if you'll listen to this verse so you can see all this come together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So he sacrificed. When he offered that sacrifice, he was giving of something that he cared about to the Lord. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his what? Gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. There were some gifts that God gave to him, and he sacrificed to use that gift for the Lord. Have you ever sacrificed in your life something for the Lord? That's my question. Have you ever done whatever you could do for the Lord? Have you ever sacrificed? Have you ever gone out of your way to try to do something for Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll be done. I don't know what your gifts are, but I would ask you to pray about it and find out what it is, and then use them for the Lord. Amen? My desire for Brother Ray, Brother Joseph, Brother Richard, is that they be good preachers. We all have to start somewhere. If you'd heard my first sermon, you'd be like, Ray, you're the best, man, because mine was horrible. But the more you practice that gift, the more God can use it, and the more you can grow. So maybe we'll be gone more often. Just kidding. But I appreciate y'all being willing. That's what God wants, right, Joseph? Willingness. Yes, he does. Don't go like this. Go like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 9, and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians, I figure we'll be done in 30 minutes, and it always goes long, but there's a point to all this. 1 Corinthians 1, 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Huh. Interesting. In all utterance. See, one of those gifts is the word of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know your Bible? Do you read your Bible? I can stand up here and teach it to you, but what good is that if you forget? Are you studying and learning it for yourself? I hope so. And it says that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift. What an interesting thing. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come behind in no gift. That's an odd way to word that. I think what he means is that you get as many gifts as you can. So God has a bunch of gifts. Some are for today, some aren't. You know, it is a gift to be able to speak another language. Have you ever learned another language? If you have, you know, you can use that for the Lord. But how about any of these gifts? What gifts do you have? I don't want you to come behind in any gift. Whatever gift God has given you, I want you to be able to do that for him. And I want to be here to be able to encourage you and to help you to do that. And if you can't do anything else, just give to the Lord. But you can also pray. You could also pass out tracts. You could also come out and hold up a sign with us. You know, I'd like to start doing that on Fridays and witnessing. And witnessing at work, amen, that's a great thing. What is the gift that God's given you? I don't know. You know yourself better than I do. But whatever that gift is, practice it. And talk to me. Say, Brother Breaker, I feel like my gift is this or that or the other thing. I'll encourage you and I'll try to help you with it, okay? But I just don't want you to come behind in any gift. God gives a gift. Gifts are fun, aren't they? It's nice to get a gift. But when you get a gift, what do you do with it? You just set it in the closet and leave it there? Or do you use it? People gave me a knife. Well, sometimes they give me a knife that's too pretty to use, so it just sits there. You know what happens to it? It rusts. Or if it's brass, it turns different color. If you have something, use that something. Okay? Sure, it's going to get it beat up, but that shows character. More character than just sitting over there and getting rusty. And like they used to say in Bible school, I'd rather wear out than rust out for the Lord. Oh, amen. Amen. So I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm finished. There's a gun show we're going to. So, amen. But we've gone long, but who cares? Who has a question or who wants to say something? Anybody? I want to hear from you. Question or comment? Yes.
Your wife exhorts you enough?
Does my wife exhort me enough? Now, when we were up in Indiana, Laura got the opportunity to speak at the women's meeting.
Oh, wow.
And did you talk about that?
Not ever, yeah.
She talked about, well, they asked her to speak about, you know, a wife and a husband and the marriage relationship, how a wife can help her husband. And one of the points she had was a wife just needs to turn to her husband sometimes and just say, you're doing a good job. Because a lot of times we're in the dumps and we're just like, oh, it's not even. And that helps a lot. Same thing with a man, you know, tell his wife, hey, you're doing a good job. So that's exhortation. And that helps. Boy, that helps, doesn't it? It really does. It really does. So amen. Amen. Anybody else? Well, thank you for our visitors coming. Did you have a question or anything?
No, it was a great teaching.
All right. TikTok? Dance? TikTok. Anybody have a question? But thank you for being here. And look, I apologize if I go too long. But I just enjoy the book. And I'm thankful that you all do too. Amen? And so I know you don't complain. And what I'm finding, more and more people are emailing. They're like, Brother Breaker, I wish it was longer. So I'm like, must be doing something right. Because I remember going to churches as a kid and falling asleep in the pew. Because those pastors, and the pastors just went 40 minutes or 30 minutes. They had nothing to say but tradition. I'm not here to give you my opinion. Opinion like armpits. Everybody has two and they all stink, right? Some more than others. But I don't want to give you my opinion and bore you with what I think. I'd rather you see what God says. So I did my best today to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Think about your gift and then exercise that gift. Okay?
Now those aren't all the gifts.
No, I'm sure there's more. That's just all I could find. There's the gift of helps. There's tons more. You know, sometimes just helping somebody is a gift. I need a lot of help, but I do the best I can. If I had a pool, I'd ask you to. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, sometimes we could just help somebody. You know, and boy, I need a lot of help. I feel like I'm behind all the time. I can't always do what I want to do, but I do the best I can.
Well, I love to give. So who's gonna give me help?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. So let's take up an offering for the brother to give an offering. No. But, you know, you can donate here too for us. There's the box. Again, I don't care about the money. I care about the rewards in heaven, but it goes a long ways. It helps. We recently just bought a new camera, and we bought a little camera so that our videos might be a little bit nicer. And what I really need is a house with a studio, but whatever. You know, it's just the things of this world mean very little to me compared to the things of the next world. And but it would be nice to have a nice fancy studio to bring. But I just do the best I can. Anybody else? Okay, we do have some couple on TikTok.
There's a guy that is talking about how to get over the fact that he's having bad thoughts at night, like he's having bad memories, maybe like the conscience.
Okay. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. This is one I get a lot also in emails. A lot of people say, I have problems because my mind thinks about bad things. Well, remember, whatever you put in there is what's going to come out of there. So stay away from porn. Stay away from bad words. Stay away from bad things that go in here, because the devil can bring them back. Or the flesh can bring them back. So the less bad garbage you put in there, the less that can come back. But what if you have done that and it's there? Well, go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. If you have done wrong, remember it's under the blood. Leave it there. Okay, the devil wants to bring it back. He's the accuser of the brother, and he's the one that wants you to dwell on it over and over. But no, the blood of Jesus just doesn't clean our sins, although it does. It says it can clean your conscience as well. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking bad things, what's the first thing you should do? Read the Bible. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed, therefore, unto his word. The more of this you get in there, the more that gets out. I mean, there's things I've done in my life in the past, I don't remember half of them, because the more I put in of this, the more I forget all that. I have a friend in Oklahoma. All right, so you know my testimony. When I was 14, mom and dad got divorced. I had to live in Oklahoma for 4 years, so I had to move. All I could think about was I can't wait to get back home. So those 4 years to me are a blur. I've forgotten most of what took place there because all I could think about is getting back home. And I have a friend who was my best friend those 4 years. And the last time I visited him, I was 40 years old. He took me out for steak when I was 40, on my 40th birthday. And he started telling me all the things that we did in those 4 years that I'd forgotten. I'm, no way, we did that? No way. And there's so many things that I've forgotten. I want to go visit him again and say, tell Laura the stories, because I forgot, you know. But sometimes in your life, there's things you kind of block out. And so sometimes that's good. You forget bad stuff. But sometimes there's fun stuff that you forget. So I almost want to go back to Oklahoma and look him up and say, hey, tell me what we did again, you know, because we did some dumb, stupid, fun stuff sometimes. Like the time we played volleyball in the middle of the river. That was fun. Mm-hmm. In Oklahoma, there's the Red River, right? And we were out there. I had a white shirt on, white, just a regular plain white shirt. And we went swimming in the river. I know it was the Cimarron River, I think it was. But it's red. See, I don't like Oklahoma because it's red dirt, more red dirt. And we went swimming. We got out. My shirt was pink. That red dirt bleached my shirt. And so I drove out onto a little island, and we set up a volleyball, and we played volleyball in the middle of the island. And all our shirts got bleached red, but it was fun. And then I come back, my car wouldn't start. And someone else drove me home, and the whole night I'm thinking, oh, my car's going to be gone tomorrow because the tide was supposed to come up. We go back the next day, and the tide was higher, but the car was still there. But there were all these little, I don't know if they're sand fleas. I don't know if they have sand fleas, but there were some little bugs all in the car. It was horrible, but we got my car out. So I remember things like that, but why did I tell that story? Oh, yeah, be careful what you do, because whatever you do, people will see. They asked me, why is your shirt pink? Well, because we did this. So whatever you do, it's going to show. Go ahead.
Another chapter that they can read if they have bad thoughts is 2 Corinthians 10:5.
2 Corinthians 10:5. Let's do that. Let's go there. Good one. Good one. There's several other ones too. While you're turning to 2 Corinthians 10:5, turn also to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 2 Corinthians, did you say 10:5 or 5:10? 10:5. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:5. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the more you obey the Lord and do right, the less you'll have things like that come back to your mind. And this is a verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that I tell people to memorize. And quote this to yourself anytime you're tempted to do wrong. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So the devil comes along and tempts us. Or maybe he doesn't even bother you. The flesh tempts you. But you don't have to give in. If you memorize that verse, you can always remember and quote that to yourself and say, now, Lord, where's the way of escape? How do I get out of this? Because you do not have to sin. You can always choose not to. There is free will. Amen. All right. Anything else? Okay. Let's cut it off there. Thank you all for being here. And again, think about your gift. I'd love to hear from you. You know, next week, well, Brother Baker, I think this is the gift the Lord's given me. Well, how can I encourage you? How can we work on that? How can we strengthen that? How can we get you to use your gifts so you can be used to your full potential for the Lord? Because what an awful thing to get to heaven and God says, well, I was going to use you like this, but all I got out of you was this. Wouldn't that be sad? Aren't we supposed to give him everything and be used to our full potential?
There is one more. I don't know if you can take
it. One more, quickly. What is it?
Mixing together with non-believers.
Don't really have time to talk about that, but the Bible does tell us to separate from all those that walk disorderly. So we're supposed to be separate from the world as Christians, right? But what happens when you're with another Christian and they do you wrong? Is it wrong to separate from them? No, not at all. It's very common that I get an email like this, Brother Breaker, so-and-so's been mean to me and abused me. I don't even want to be around them. It hurts for me to be with them. What should I do? Sometimes it's their own family member, you know. But you don't have to be around a person that grieves your spirit. You can choose who you're around. And you can choose to say bye-bye and get away from people, especially when it hurts you because they're hurting you. And sometimes they hurt you on purpose. Sometimes they hurt you and they don't realize it. You can choose. I just choose not to be around you. Except at work, yeah, when you're at work. But that's when sacrifice and charity comes in. If you have to be around them, you be as nice as you possibly can. That's called killing them with kindness. And the Bible says that heaps coals of fire upon their head. And boy, that's hard, but There's a little bit of like a delight in knowing that they're mean to you, but you were nice back. Because you know in their mind, they're so angry that you're so nice. So you're kind of like, hey, I wish you're really nice to them today. They're really going to hate that. But you never know when it pays off. Because years later, they could come back and go, man, I got right because you were just so nice. But if you were angry back at them, that's what they're expecting. So when you're nice and caring and loving and it goes a long ways because that's what Christ would be, right? And so basically that's called showing them Christ in you. And that's the hardest thing in the world. The best thing is to just get away. But there are times when you can't. So you have to deal with it, and you deal with it with charity. And that is walking in the spirit, not in the flesh. And that's another reason why being tired isn't good. Have you ever noticed when you're tired, you lash out? Mm-hmm. You're just like, and then someone says something, rah, 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 and you bark at them. So sometimes it's good to get away. Even Jesus, it says he got away for a little while. Remember when Jesus got away from time to time? The disciple, where's Jesus? Well, he's over there. I guess he was, because he's God in the flesh. He's like, oh, these disciples. he can see their hearts, you know. Aren't you glad we can't see each other's hearts? But sometimes get away. Sometimes just learn how to care about people. That's a gift. And exercise that gift. I brought that all together, didn't it? So exercise that gift of charity.